Is that yours?
You're going. It's recording.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, first of all, thank you to all the people that were mishtatev in this, to Grant and the student government and all the people that were involved in getting the food and setting up the Madura and of course the Mashkiach band. And so the Zayir HaKadosh calls Lag Ba'omer, the Yayma Dehilula Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Yayma Dehilula simply means the yard site. Tonight is the yard site according to most opinions of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. But Yayma Dehilula is a strange lashon to use, because the word Hilula really means a chasana. Yayma Dehilula, like the Gemara says, Hayalma Daim Lebe Hilula. Hilula means a chasana. So why would you call a day of a yartzeit, a day of a petira of a tzaddik, a hilula, a chasna? What is the kesher between a chasna and a yartzeit? In fact, you know, people actually treat Lag Ba'omer and Meron as a chasna. I saw that there was a Yerushalmi Yid that said that I intend on staying in Meron from the Kabbalah's Panim all the way till the Mitzvah Tanz. That's how Chassidim, that's how people really feel about Lag Ba'omer. They feel that it's a chasna of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, but it's the day that he died. You know, I saw this week, just coincidentally, there's a story about a great Chassidish Rebbe. His name is Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov, the Sasov Rebbe. And he was a tzaddik yisayid eilam. When he died, so there was a big eilam by his kever as they were about to put him into the kever. And all of a sudden, there was a big tumult. And it seems that there was a runaway horse with a wagon. And on the wagon, on the caravan, there was a whole klezmer band. All you know, whatever instruments they used to play back then, and they were all sort of, they were going on a certain journey somewhere, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the road, the horses started going crazy, and the drivers started whipping the horses, tried to get them to stop, slow down. This is dangerous, and they wouldn't stop, and they just kept going and going and going until these horses brought this band to Mamish, to the Beis Olam, where the great Sasva Rebbe was being buried. And then the horses stopped. And the band gets out, and they said, this is really strange. Like, how did this happen? What's going on over here, by the way? Who's being buried? They tell him, you didn't hear? The Tzadik Yisayid Olam, the Sasva Rebbe, Ramesha Lev of Sasva, is being buried now. Said, ah, now we understand what happened. So a few years ago, the Sasever found a Yosem and a Yosemo who were getting married. They were engaged to be married. But the one problem was they didn't have any money to pay for the chasna. So the Sasever arranged for everything, from soup to nuts. He got the food together, and he got the hall together, and he got the money together, and the band. And he was, of course, at the chasna itself. And as they were playing, this band was playing a certain niggun, a very heartzig niggun, a very heartfelt, hauntingly beautiful niggun. Reb Moshe Leib said to the chassidim around him that when my petira comes, I wouldn't mind being buried to this niggun. This is the niggun that I want by my kvura. And this made its way even to the band, and everyone just forgot about it. It was a cryptic thought. Everybody forgot about it. And now, all of a sudden, you know, on the day of his petira, the horses with the buggy, they went crazy. They brought this band punk to the Beis Olam on the day of Reb Moshe Leib's petira, and they reminded the people around it, this is what the Kavod Acharon, this is what the mace wanted. and there was a best in there that convened, and they said, if this is Taka the way that Hashkocha had it, so then we're going to play, we're going to allow them to play that niggin right now at the Kvura. And V'kachava, so you see that there's some sort of correlation between the Petir of a Tzaddik and a Chasana. And the question that we should be bothered by is, what exactly is the correlation? So I was thinking to say as follows. What's the simcha exactly of a chasana? Everyone goes to a chasana, it's exciting, and you go, and you know, there's music, there's food, there's dancing. But when you boil it all down, what is a chasana? What's the simcha of a chasana? So the simcha of a chasana is that you have two people. You have a man and a woman. And a man and a woman really have nothing at all to do with one another. They really don't. I mean, mitzad halacha, they certainly shouldn't. But even philosophically, even emotionally, physically, on every level, a man and a woman are completely different. Chazal say that nashim are am b'fnei atzman. They're their own separate universe. You know, there's a famous book, a Gayusha book that was written. It's quite famous, and it's actually very true. It's called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. Men and women are completely two separate ilamas, totally. There's really no connection between a man and a woman. Two men could get along. Chavrusas could be a chavrusa for 30 years. Everything is fine. There's perfect shalom bayis constantly. There's roommates, friends, no problem. But suddenly, you know, a man and a woman from opposite ends of the universe, from opposite hashkafas, opposite temperaments, opposite everything, and now the Rabbeinu Shalom gives them a mitzvah of getting married, having a family, having to learn to live with the differences that definitely exist between a man and a woman, and v'hayu l'basarecha, they become one beguf, they become one through having children, they become one through shalom bayis, they become one by ish v'isha, zachu shechina b'neihem. There is suddenly a harmony that exists, that is the glue that keeps the husband and the wife together, in spite of all odds. The Torah says, loitai v'yais adam levadeh, it's not good for a man to be alone, esaloi ezer kenegdai. A wife is kinegda. A wife is really not naturally a good ally for a man. She's actually probably the worst ally because they're so diametrically opposite. But yet, if you work really hard, then it could be an ezer. It could be a wonderful relationship with a lot of hard work, a lot of investment of love and emotion and caring and concern and talking and discussing, and you can make it work. But that's a pella. That's something that's like something that's completely b'derech nifla, that the Rabbeinu Shlalom takes two people, an ish and isha, he gives them a mitzvah to come together, and suddenly they become one. That's a great simcha. That's what the chasna is all about. Taking two things that are seemingly very different, and because the Rabbeinu Shlalom wants us to, we show that it's really one. A famous story with Rabbi Aryeh Levin, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, who he was very close to his wife. They had a wonderful marriage, and he loved her so greatly. He wrote poetry about her after she died. An amazing marriage. And they had, of course, they had the wife of Rabbi Yashiv. She was the grandmother of Rebbetzin Kanievsky. And an amazing marriage. And one time, Rabbi Levin took his wife to the podiatrist. Her foot was in a lot of pain. And famously, Rabbi Aryeh Levin says to the doctor, when the doctor asks, what's wrong? He says, our foot is hurting us. That's what a chasna, that's what a marriage is supposed to be. It's supposed to be such an ichod, haneshamas, that her pain is my pain is her pain, and together we become like a guf echad. From two halves, we become a whole. That's really what the simcha, what everybody is dancing and so happy by a chasna. It's the simcha of taking two diametrically opposite things and putting them together and showing them that when the Rabbeinu Shlom wants something to happen, we do it. You know, we think that there's two worlds in the universe. There's something called Olam Hazeh, that's this life, and this life is a lot of studies, it's finals, and it's pressure, and it's going to work, and it's getting a job, finding a career, getting married, having kids, and doing all the sundry things that that people do, going to baseball games, and enjoying, and this and that. And then there's another entity in the world called Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a completely separate world. Really, it doesn't have any connection to this world. This world is a gashmiistical world. The coming world is a completely ruchniistical world. And nary the two shall meet. It's no shaykhas. Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are completely diametrically opposite worlds, and they don't really have any connection whatsoever to each other. But the truth of the matter is that they have a lot to do with each other. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Sakaisa." Got it? Sakais. Thank you. Sakaisa l'reishi b'yayim neshek. Sakaisa l'reishi. It's in Tehillim kuf mem. It means, David HaMelech says, you protect my head on the day of battle. B'yayim neshek. Chazal say there's Yerushalmi, and it's brought in the Yalkut Shemayni, that Yayim neshek doesn't mean a day of battle necessarily. Neshek does mean ammunition. But it also means Yayim sheyishku shnei olam ezeh lezeh. There is a day that the two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, it's a day of neshek, it's a day of neshika. There is a kiss that takes place between this world and the next world. Ha'olam hazeh yotze, ha'olam haba nichnas. This world leaves, the next world comes, but the tzaddik is able to show us on the day of death, which is really what Chazal are saying, that the Yom HaNeshek is, it's the day, death is not a time that a tzaddik goes, you know, far, far away into galaxies unknown. It's a day, the day of the patir of a tzaddik is the day that the two worlds kiss one another. Because it's such a smooth transition that a tzaddik is able to make from this world to the next world, it's seamless. There's no, it's just a kiss. It's just basically you just sort of go from one world and you jump right into the next world. Olam Haba is not a world that's a zillion miles away, you know, beyond Mars somewhere. Olam Haba is something that's so close, but we don't see it because we're not on the level to see how close it is. But real tzaddikim, they're able to see that really Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are intersecting universes. Rabbi Yerucham writes a letter. Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch, the Mashgiach of the Mir, wrote a letter to his nephew who lived in America. Rabbi Yerucham was in Poland. He had a brother who lived in America who died. And he wrote a letter to his nephew who was sitting Shiva for Rabbi Yerucham's brother, his father. And he writes as follows. He says, "You're very depressed. You're in mourning for your father and you think it's a horrible thing that you're never going to see him again, but you should know." He says that's not the hashkafa of the Torah. Death, he says, is just merely moving from one place to another place. It's like moving from one city to another city. There's no major reason the reason why we mourn is because we're sympathetic to the plight of the person that was nifter. He has to go through a certain din. But he's not that far away. It's literally, he says, going from one city to another city. But again, it takes the eyes of a tzaddik to see this. Rav Shach used to say that there is a story that's told about the Yidden in Auschwitz who they were taken to the gas chamber, a group of Hasidim, and on the way to the gas chamber somebody said, you know, today's Simchas Torah. So they said, today's Simchas Torah. They said, but we don't have a Sefer Torah to dance with. That's true. But what we should do is we should dance with the Rabbeinu Shalom. We don't have a Torah to dance with. should dance with the Sefer Torah. And in front of the Nazis, they all started dancing and singing Ashreinu Matayev Chalkeinu Teres Hashem Tamima. They were mamish making hakafis on the way to the gas chamber on Simchas Torah in Auschwitz. And Rav Shach said, he says, do you know how much I would give to be there? He says, these people were joining Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. He says, they brought Olam Haba down to this world, the Tainug Ruchni, the enjoyment that they must have had at that moment while they were bridging this world and the next world was impossibly intense. It was so pleasurable, so enjoyable, that he said, I would give anything to taste what they must have tasted in this world. Rav Shach was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. They say famous stories. Rav Shach once came out of the Brisker Rav's house. It was a winter day and there was snow in Yerushalayim. And he was dancing by himself in the snow. He was so happy. He had so much Tainug Ruchni from the Brisker Rav's Torah. And one time he said to his Talmidim, he said, I don't know if I'm going to be Zeicha to Olam Haba. He says, but if I am Zeicha in Olam Haba, I lost all of my Olam Haba today coming out of the Brisker Rav's house because the Tainug Ruchni that I had, I felt Olam Haba in this world. It's possible in this world that we're living in, we're standing on terra firma, this is planet Earth, we're not in Olam Haba, we're not, Baruch Hashem, we're still very much alive, Baruch Hashem. But it's possible if we really are able to catch moments like these sparks are flying. If we could catch a spark once in a while, we'd be able to feel what Olam Haba is like in this world. There are moments that we have such Tainug Ruchni that we actually bring Olam Haba down to this world. You know, I wonder if I would go around, I'm not going to, but if I go around and ask people, you know, when was the last time you felt really Olam Habadik? I wonder what you would say. I could think of a few times that I mamish felt like I was in Olam Haba. I'll give you one time that I felt it for sure. There were many times maybe, but one time for sure that I felt it was 7.5 years ago, or a little bit more than 7.5 years ago, in MetLife Stadium. It was by the Siyum Hashas, of course. We made a Siyum in Yeshiva, just like we're going to Mitzvah Shem in January 1st, 2020, again in MetLife Stadium. You had 90,000 Yidden davening Ma'ariv together, screaming Amen Yeshmei Rabba together, and then they made a Hadron in their speeches, a Hadron, and all of a sudden, like as soon as the Kaddish was over of the Siyum Hashas, the band broke out in song, and the whole dais of all the Gedolei Yisrael started dancing, and everybody on the field, as it were dancing, and we happened to be in a certain section, and just coincidentally, quote unquote, we had Ariel was there, Ariel Kapitnikov was there, and a lot of Lander guys just happened to be in that one section of MetLife Stadium. And we were dancing together, like by, you know, sort of like by the refreshment stand outside of the seat area. And the whole place was dancing. You had 90,000 Jews in ecstasy, in euphoria over Simchas HaTorah. I couldn't stop crying. I was mamish bawling like a baby. And I was joyous and sad and in Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, all at the very same moment. It was such an unusual experience, but I don't think in Olam Haba I'll get another experience like that. Halavai, but I don't think so. There's just some moments that you're on such a spiritual high. There's such a moment of euphoria. It doesn't last forever. And you have to chop them when they come. But there's times that you can mamish have Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. Shabbos is the time that's me'ein Olam Haba. The Gemara says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh used to come down every Shabbos, and he told his family members that prepare for me, make my bed properly, set a seat for me by the table, light the candles, because I'm coming. I'll be in Olam Haba, but I'm going to come down every Shabbos. And he did. The Gilyan Hashas brings down that he was Maitzi in Kiddush. He was Maitzi, the Tzibor, whoever was in the house, he made Kiddush for them. He was dead. He made Kiddush for them. Kiveger says it's a raya that Tzadikim Misasim Kriyim Chayim Mamish Lahawacha, and a Tzadik who dies is able even to be Maitzi people that are alive in Kiddush. The Gemara continues and says that once the cat was out of the bag, as it were, once the cleaning lady or whatever told the secret to somebody else and people found out, he stopped coming because he didn't want to be Maitzi Lazal or Rishinus, all the other diarists that never got this chus of coming back down. So he stopped. But Rav Pam says, what's he doing? I don't understand this. He's in, Shabbos here is Me'ein Olam Haba, but there he's in Olam Haba Mamish, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And he came down to planet Earth to keep Shabbos? Rav Pam says, you see from here that Shabbos here is greater than Olam Haba. Now, you're going to, well, I don't know, I don't feel, I like Cholent a lot, I like Tangy Taffy's by an Oneg, but like, well, we're, no, that's, if we feel that way, it's only because we're not really being tayim the Kedusha Shabbos. You know, we're keeping Shabbos, and we're doing all the right things, we're davening, we're saying, but we're not feeling it. We're not doing what we're supposed to on Shabbos. We're doing it, we're learning a little bit, and then we go back to our room and we read, you know, the Atet, or the Hamodiyah, or whatever, and, you know, we're mixing so much into our Shabbos that it doesn't, the neshama doesn't get the dose of Olam Haba that it really wants and it could have. But there are moments that we have Olam Haba in this world. Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah, you know, these are moments of very heightened ruchnius that you can mamish, you know, you're screaming Hashem Elokim, Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem. Like, these are times of tremendous euphoric moments that we feel Olam Haba. You can mamish feel Olam Haba in this world. I think now would be a moment, if we're in touch and we're in tune, and we could, you know, keep our minds off of the world and we could be focusing on the ruchnius of this night. This is a tremendous night. Klal Yisrael, you see the pictures of what's going on in Meiron and in Bnei Brak and in Muncie and in here. This is beautiful what we're doing here. This is Olam Haba right now. It doesn't get better than this. The weather is absolutely perfect. The fire is absolutely perfect. The Bachrim are absolutely perfect. It doesn't get better than this. What are we waiting for? This is going to get better than this? Next year it'll be better? You have to chop these moments in your hand and say, Maidim B'Shem Malchus, the Rabbeinu Shalom, that I'm in Olam Haba right now. I don't have to wait for Olam Haba. This is Olam Haba. This is very happy. I'm very happy right now. This is the Yaima D'Hilula of Rav Shimba Yechai. The Yaima D'Hilula of Rav Shimba Yechai means that Rav Shimba Yechai teaches us that the way he was nifter with Neshika, the way he just made that such a seamless transition between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and he said that we should be happy on the day that he dies. It's a yontif, he said. He invited everybody to come to his kever in Meron to rejoice with him on the Yom HaDi'ilulah. Because what he's showing is that you take two seemingly opposite things. You have Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. You think, two separate worlds. I mean, now we're Olam Hazeh. Someday we'll get into Olam Haba, but not yet. Rav Shimba Yechai is telling us that's not true. I'm joining Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. This is a Yom HaNeshek. It's the day of Neshika between this world and the next world, but not just on the Tzaddik's Yard side is a Chasna, which is the taking of two separate things and showing that they're really one. But we learn from Lag Ba'omer and we apply it to the rest of our life that every day of our life is a Yom HaNeshek. Every day of our life are days that we have opportunities to join together to make a neshika, to make a kiss between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's totally up to us. we could chart a course for our life that we never ever will be talking about Olam Haba. We'll have to wait in the next world, take our chances and see what happens. Or we can make a life for ourselves that every single day we actually feel Olam Habadik. We feel like we're ambassadors, like we have a passport of Olam Hazeh, of Olam Haba in this world. If we make our Shabbos a Shabbos, if our Torah is a Torah, if we're able to learn with our Chavrusa v'Ritzifos, you know, really the way it should be, not that we keep checking our cell phones and going out for coffee and schmoozing and all the breaking up of, that's not Gishmak. When you're able to learn v'Ritzifos, tell me that that's not Olam Haba. Tell me when you have a good kasha and you're working on trying to discover a teretz. Tell me that that's not Olam Haba. There's nothing more beautiful than being in yeshiva these days. You know, so many people think, and I thought this way also, when I was a bachur, you know, yeah, you know, it's good, but this isn't really life. Life, you know, is going to be much better down the road when I get married. That's when I'm going to be a real mensch, you know. That's when I'm going to be, when I get older, when I have a family, I have money, I have this and that. Not true. Right now, today, is Olam Haba. If you're waiting till next year, next Lag BaOmer, two Lag BaOmers, you think it's going to be better then? There will never be a better Lag BaOmer than tonight. You can live 1,000 years. You will never have a Lag BaOmer like tonight. And you have to be typhused. This is, I'm looking for Olam Haba in this world. I want to be an Olam Haba Dekayid here. And there are opportunities to help people. You feel Olam Haba when you help people. Sometimes, you know, you go to a hospital and you're Mevaker Chaylim and you uplift them. You go to a nursing home and you play music. You dance together. You take people that are sad. And you lift their spirits, that's Olam Haba in this world. This is the Yom Hilula of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Emilul of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is a chasna, because just like a chasna is taking two opposites and showing that they're really one, they could live together, and they could be lebasar echad, Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh are also, it's tonight is the night that we're able to dance and to rejoice and to be merry over the fact that we're able to have a neshika between the two worlds. We're able to show that this world is not separate from the next world. It's a great mistake that people make, and you're waiting and you're hoping, maybe someday I'll get to Olam Haba. You know, Rav Aaron Kotler always had a group of balabatim around him, and he was always encouraging them to give money to Lakewood and to his chinuch atzmai, all of his great maestas that he had. And, you know, and he always promised them that if you give money to yeshiva, to Lakewood, even if you're working all day and you don't have time to be a Talmud Chacham, but when you go up to Olam Haba, you're going to be not just in Olam Haba, because it's no fun being in Olam Haba and not being part of the action. You ever sat by a table, let's say by a chasna, and there are like kail guys, yeshiva bachrim, and they're talking about a sugya back and forth, and there's a rizqa d'iraisa, and you're sitting there like, you know, you don't know what's going on. It's like Gehenim. So what's the punt of being an Olam Haba without being converted? He says, you're going to be conversant in Olam Haba. You give money to yeshiva and you sachar zvula and you support Taira, you're going to be a Talmud Chacham in Olam Haba. You're going to be able to talk out sugyas all over Shas because you supported the ability of people to learn sugyas all over Shas. So one time, he sort of gave musr to one of his close balabatim. He says, you know, Reb Chaim, you know, I know that you're working a lot, you're making money, and you're giving to yeshiva a lot, it's wonderful, but says, I think you should be learning a little bit. Make a seder or two throughout the day. Learn a little bit. So Chaim said to Rav Aaron, he says, Rav Shiva always says that if I support Torah, which I do, then I go to Olam Haba, and I not only and not only do I go to Olam Haba, but I'm going to be Rabbi Kiviger in Olam Haba. So why do I have to sit and learn here? Yeah, I have the Rosh Yeshiva's guarantee. So Rav Aaron said, he says, you're right, Olam Haba you have. I'm worried about your Olam Haza. He says, do you have Olam Haza in this world? You're making money, you're running here, there. Do you have Olam Haza? Meaning, do you have a geschmack in this world? We think that what's geschmack in this world is driving a sports car and living in a big fancy house and wearing fancy clothing and going away on fancy Pesach programs and owning a summer house somewhere and driving a Lambo. That's Olam Haza, right? That's geschmack. Is it really geschmack? It's not geschmack. It's pathetic. It's not geschmack. You think people really? It's marvin chas and marvin daiga. The car. You have one car, then a newer car comes out. Then you have charata. You got that car, and then you have too many houses. And one has a leak, and one has a this, and one has a fire, and there's a... It's, you think it's so geschmack to have too much gashmi? It's not geschmack. Olam Haza is not having a lot of money. Olam Haza is being able to find tainug ruchni in this world. Learning, davening with a geschmack, singing with a geschmack, doing chesed, being able to learn, being able to enjoy each other's company, getting nachas from children. There's a tainug ruchni that exists that you really can't compare anything to in this world. This week, on Monday and Wednesday, I wasn't here. I gave a shiur to retired Balabatim in Teaneck. There's a Beis Medrash, they call it BMT, Beis Medrash of Teaneck. It's in a high school building, so there's young high school boys walking around. And then there's a group of Baal Batim. I was expecting like maybe a minion of Baal Batim, and I gave them our Mekaymes, and they printed it out nicely, and they translated it. I came there Monday morning, at like 11 o'clock. I came into this room. It was jam-packed. There were over 70 Baal Batim that were in this room. It was not a big room. It was maybe a quarter of the Beis Medrash. And they were like raring to go. I never saw people that were lapping up Tyra like them. One guy came over to me afterwards. He's like maybe in his 60s, 70s. He moved from Houston, Texas. He never had a chance to really to learn. He says, I can't describe the pleasure that I get coming here every single day. They have a shir in Halacha, they have a shir in, a guest speaker twice every week, and then they have a shir in Nach, and, from 9 o'clock in the morning to like 1 o'clock, and they learn, and it's packed, and it's geschmack, and they're mamish na'ilam haba in this world. Now, they all, I assume, are comfortable, they're retired, they probably have a nice, IRA account, but their tainig is not, in Dvarim Gashmian. They realize, and sometimes it takes a whole life to chap what real pleasure is. You run after this and that, and then you realize at the end that there's, Rabbi Saul Slant used to say that people spend their whole life, trying to find a whistle, only to, when they finally get the whistle, it doesn't whistle, it doesn't blow. That's what Olam Haza is. You're spending so much time. I'm gonna go to college. Why am I going to college? To get a career. Why am I getting a career? To make a lot of money. Why do you want to make a lot of money? Well, so I could eat, so I could this and that. So you're basically just like spinning your wheels, and all obviously hanah is important. But don't think that that's where your hanah is gonna be. The hanah is when you're able to take this world and kiss the next world. Yaima Neshek is the legacy of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. He teaches us that it's a Yayma Yilula. Yartzeit is not a depressing day. You know what? It's depressing when it's a Yartzeit of a guy that missed the boat. He never had Olam Haza, he never had Olam Haba. It's pathetic. But a person that lived this world, lived this life, Olam Haba Dik, it's just a smooth transition. It's from one city to the next. It's a Yayma Yilula, it's a Chasna. You're taking two things, joining them, showing that it's one. That's the secret to this world. That's the secret to this day. When we dance, when we sing, it's the song of trying to discover the truth of life. The truth of life is that the more we live, the more we discover how the only thing that is really relevant in this world, the only thing that's really of value, the only thing that's really pleasurable, honestly, after all what the Gayim, you know, try to tell us is pleasurable, which doesn't give you any satisfaction in the long run or in the short run, the only thing that's nitzchi is tainug ruchni. Those moments that we learn, if we knew what we had, we would never stop learning. If we knew what we had on Shabbos, we would never stop singing Zmiras. We wouldn't miss a single Shabbos in Yeshiva. We'd come every single Shabbos. We would spend so much more time in the Beis Medrash, so much more time schmoozing with our friends. Yontif would be Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Every Yontif is Olam Habadik, if you treat it the right way. Otherwise, it's not. But the more we try to make this world full of Tainug Ruchni, the more that we're able to really have the ultimate simcha, which is joining two seemingly opposite things and showing that we could bring them together. Only a Yid knows how to bring them together. It's a yontif the day that he was nifter, because he just jumped from this world. He was already in Olam Haba, in this world. He was in a cave. He had no gashmias, but he lived on such a high level of ruchnias that it was just, he just simply walked from one step to the next, and it was Mises Nishika, and it was seamless. It was one world for him. He joined them together. That's what we have to learn how to do, to look for pleasure in this world, but not the pleasure that the Gayim try to seduce us into believing is valuable. And we all fall for the trap. I'm scammed just like you are. But our neshama knows better. Our neshama knows a scammer from the real deal. And the real deal is that when we learn, that hanoi is unparalleled in anything that this world has to offer. Shabbos, Yom, these are inventions that a guy can never begin to understand. But we don't understand it either, because we are, you know, we roll our eyes skeptically about it, because we don't really put in what it takes. But the people that do, the Rav Shimba Yechais, the Rav Moshe Leib Sasevers, the Rav Aaron Cutlers, the retired Balabatim and Tinek, people that get it and they're like chalashing for Olam Haba, they understand what real pleasure is all about. You're not losing Olam Hazeh by learning and by davening. You're not losing it at all, you're gaining it. You're losing Olam Hazeh when you're doing things that are too much Megushim Dik, which doesn't provide us any satisfaction. It's just like the Gra says, it's like drinking a thirsty person that drinks salty water, and it has a temporary sensation as if you're quenching your thirst, but in reality you're just getting thirstier. That's what Tainuga Olam Hazeh is. More Vaitir Gashmias, more Hanas, more Yetzaris, more, it doesn't do it. Well, when it comes to Ruchnias, pulling Olam Haba down to this world, I just want to end with one story, another story with Rav Moshe Leib Sasev, who we said was the one who died with a song, because it was his Yom Hilula. I'll show you how true it was for him, how he was able to join Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. There was once a Misnagid. Misnagid is a person who really didn't approve of the Hasidic movement. They felt that Hasidim are, you know, whatever, they you know, Torah is the main thing, and all these, you know, dancing and singing and Tishin and Simcha, that's not the right Mahalach. So there are people that were very vehemently opposed to the Hasidic movement, the Yadua. And there was one guy that came and he said, he was a big Misnagid, and he came into the city of Sasev, and he went over to the Hasidim of the Sasva Rebbe, and you know, he was somewhat skeptical about the Rebbe, and they were saying what a tzaddik he is, what a chassid he is, and he's a malach, and you know, he said, well, you know, during the days of slichas, what does the Rebbe do? Well, he locks himself up in his room, and he goes, you know, and he becomes mamish like a malach. He goes up to Shemayim, and who knows what he does. He does tremendous Yechidus in, and Hespaidus, and Hespaidus, and all of the metaphysical things that a Rebbe, you know, is assumed to do. And this Misnagid was not buying it for a minute. So he says, okay, yeah. So he tells the Hasidim, I'm gonna see for myself what he does, locked up, you know, in that room. So he hides in like a closet of the room late at night, and it's like 5 o'clock in the middle of the night, 4 or 5 o'clock, and the Rebbe is learning the whole night. And then, you know, the Misnagid is already like dozing off. All of a sudden he sees the Rebbe putting on like a regular Balabatisha winter clothing. He put on like a hat, you know, the Russian fur hats, and he put on like a regular, like a flannel coat. And this was like something very strange, you know, to the Misnagid, that the Rebbe is dressing so pashut. And he puts on his boots, and this Misnagid, see, I got to see what the Rebbe is doing now. So he follows him out, and he goes deep into the Russian forest, and it's freezing cold, and all of a sudden he starts taking out an axe, and he starts cutting down a tree, and then he knocks on Almana's door, a widow's door, who needed that firewood, and he knew that her shed was empty, and he said, if you need fire, he knocks on the door, it's now 7 o'clock in the morning. She says, yeah, it's freezing in the house. He says, well, I cut some wood. She says, I don't have any money to pay for it. He says, I know that, and I cut it for you anyway. And this is yours. And he comes back into the house, and the Misnagid is sold. Says, this is what a real Rebbe is. And the Hasidim come over and says, was it true? Did the Rebbe not go in his room? Did he not go up to Shamayim? So he says, no. He went much higher. That's Moshe Leib Sasev. He's a person that on this world, he was able to bring Olam Haba to this world. He found opportunities to make this world Olam Habadik. You could go through life and just live for yourself and live selfishly and not try to help anybody else, and not try to learn, not try to dive and do everything with mediocrity. Or you can mamish pull down the ilamis to this world and have the ultimate tainug and go much higher than heaven. And that's why by his levaya, this music was playing, because it wasn't a jump. It wasn't even jumping over from one step to another. It was a little baby step from ilam hazeh to ilam habeh. It was mamish a little move on the chessboard, because his this world was ilam habeh. Yitz Hashem, we should be zeicha to learn the lessons of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Yaimadi Lula, as the Zayar says, the chasna of the Yartzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he teaches us so profoundly how we have to join worlds together, like a chasna, and like all the tzaddikim who show us that Olam Haba is not a foreign place. Olam Haba is a place that's very, very close.